Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles, and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 6th of April 1924, Ludendorff and Hitler receive the verdict of the court, and I take a shallow dive into the government's revenue and expenditure figures. But first, some of the other items that have caught my attention this week. The London bus and tram strike has ended. There has been a strike at the site of the soon-to-be-opened Empire exhibition in Wembley. Following last week's announcement by the London County Council that Waterloo Bridge may need to be rebuilt, there's been a lively correspondence in the pages of the Times. Some say it must be preserved. Others, of a more practical persuasion, say that it can't be saved, and anyway the crossing needs widening. The manager of a Lloyds Bank sub-branch in Borden, Hampshire, has been murdered and the bank robbed. While one tends to associate banks with grand, solid-looking buildings, the one in this case looks more like a summer house. There was an extended article on the political situation in Japan. Not particularly interesting, but it did include the fact that only 3.5 million Japanese out of 60 million had the vote. And this for a parliament that, as we discovered a couple of weeks ago, doesn't have a great deal of power. There have been a fair few letters on the subject of the death penalty. In the Soviet Union, the Communist Party is busy expelling old members and recruiting new ones to take their place. I assume this has something to do with the power struggle at the top of the party. In other Soviet news, the Soviet Union is attempting to prize Bessarabia, modern-day Moldova, from Romania. They are demanding a plebiscite or referendum is held. The Romanian government, not surprisingly, objects and points out that 3 general elections have been held since Bessarabia became part of Romania, and none have demonstrated any great appetite for secession. In the 22nd of October 1922 episode, I mentioned that there were hopes that HMS Lion, the flagship of the battlecruiser squadron at Jutland, might be preserved. It would appear that issue is about to be resolved. This is from Monday the 31st. HMS Lion arrived in the Tyne on Saturday from Rosyth, in charge of tugs, to be broken up. I've long thought it a great shame that not a single British battleship from the 20th century has been preserved. I can only imagine that the scrap steel they were converted into was worth a lot of money. H.G. Wells has a new novel out called The Dream, not a title I can say I'm familiar with. There was a fairly long article on Hanoverian separatism. I saw this in Monday's edition. Brigadier General Godfrey Lester Hibbert, CB, CMG, DSO, died on Friday night at his residence, Moor Platt, Caton, near Lancaster, aged 60. He served from 1915 to 18 in the late war, when he was mentioned in dispatches and wounded. So how did he get wounded if generals were all safely ensconced in their chateaus miles away from the fighting? In 1915, after several of them had been killed, generals were banned from entering the front line, so either he was wounded in 1915 or he was disobeying orders. Over the last couple of years, much ink has been spilt in the Times on the subject of the British Empire exhibition at Wembley, including the strike mentioned earlier. None of this ink has been translated into an item in What the Paper Said, mostly because I don't really understand it. Oh, something about bringing the empire together, I guess. Anyway, an ad on Wednesday fills us in on some of the details. Wembley's mighty spectacle will be the British Empire gathered from the 5 continents into one vast city. In buildings of their own design, the Dominions, India and the Colonies will present, in a setting rich with splendour, the picture of their daily life and activities. 300,000 visitors will be able to see the exhibition day by day, without confusion and in comfort. Visitors to Wembley may lunch in South Africa, take tea in India and dine in New Zealand, Australia or Canada. In the words of the old Vauxhall advert, fun, if you like that sort of thing. I saw this in Thursday's edition. The drinking of methylated spirits is reported to have assumed alarming proportions in Scottish cities, where the poorer classes have resorted to this stimulant because they cannot afford to pay for whisky. In Edinburgh alone, there were more convictions in 1 year for the offence of being drunk on methylated spirits than in the whole of England and Wales. 20% of the convictions for drunkenness in Edinburgh were due to methylated spirits. Things are so much better nowadays. I know. I've seen Trainspotting. The treason trial, arising out of what we nowadays refer to as the Beer Hall Putsch, has ended. This is from Wednesday. Munich treason trial. Farcical sentences. Oh yeah? General Ludendorff acquitted. What? The verdict was slowly read by Dr. Neidhart, the president of the court. 5 years imprisonment in a fortress and a fine of 100 marks, that's £10, and costs for Herr Hitler, Dr. Weber, Herr von Perner, and Lieutenant Colonel Kriebel, who were found guilty of high treason. The crowded court shuddered with indignation. 1 year and 3 months imprisonment in a fortress and fine of 100 marks and costs for Lieutenant Bruckner, Captain Röhm, yes, that's Captain Röhm, Herr Frick, Lieutenant Wagner, and Lieutenant Pernet. That's pretty farcical for treason. Excellency Ludendorff acquitted, but ordered to pay certain costs. That's ridiculous. He was up to his neck in it. The President waited for the excitement and sympathetic murmurs to subside, and then continued, Hitler, Perner, Weber and Kriebel must serve 6 months and will then be released on their own recognizances, the remainder of the sentence being suspended. A farcical farce, something that is not lost on the locals. Munich is chuckling over the verdict, which is regarded as an excellent joke of All Fool's Day. The verdict was arrived at by a vote of 4-1, the court consisting of 3 judges and 2 laymen. The president afterwards read a long statement setting forth the legal grounds on which the court had based its decision. In view of the actual verdict, it was rather difficult to take this statement seriously, in spite of the use of such phrases as fiat justitia pereat mundus. For those whose Latin is a bit rusty, that means let justice be done, though the world perish. The public rose to jeer at the court or to shout Hail Hitler or Hail Ludendorff. From a window Herr Hitler smilingly bowed his acknowledgements to the crowd outside, who already knew the verdict and apparently appreciated the joke. The trial has at any rate proved that a plot against the constitution of the Reich is not considered a serious crime in Bavaria. This is from Thursday. General Ludendorff, who is to stand as a candidate of the German Freedom Party, try not to laugh, for the Reichstag at the general election, received a magnificent welcome this afternoon in the Bürgerbräu Keller at a meeting of the Officers' Association. Herr Hitler, Dr. Weber and Lieutenant Colonel Kriebel motored, not were taken, yesterday to the political fortress of Landsberg, where they are to spend their 6 months' detention. Landsberg is picturesquely situated in the Bavarian Highlands and is probably as pleasant a place as anywhere to spend the summer months. The prisoners will be allowed gifts of food and wine from their admirers and will be provided with plenty of literature and other comforts. A typewriter, perhaps. Sadly, the Times offers no explanation for this kid glove treatment. It does, however, suggest a lot of sympathy with National Socialism. The government has published its annual revenue and expenditure figures. So what do we learn from that? Well, before I answer that question, the sums are obviously in 1924 pounds and are meaningless today, so we have to convert them. I prefer to convert to and from gold. Now, that is an imperfect way of doing it. It takes no account of gold production or population. But I'm unaware of a better way of doing it. In 1924, 96 shillings, or £4.80, would buy you 1 ounce of gold. Nowadays, you'll need £1,700. Which gives us a ratio of 354.167, which is ridiculously precise. At this point, I usually apply the Crozier fudge factor and attempt to take into account the pound's overvaluation and divide everything by 2. I won't be doing that on this occasion because, as will become apparent, the figures are quite astonishing enough as they are. Let's start with expenditure. In 1924, the British government spent £788,849,211, or £279 million in today's money. Last year, the government spent £1,189 billion. So in 1924, they're spending about a quarter of what they are now. Now, revenue. Revenue in 1924 was £837,169,284, or £296 billion in today's money. In 2023, it was £1,058 billion. The observant among you will have noticed that in 1924, revenue exceeds expenditure. That hasn't happened in Britain since about 2001, and before that, 1988. The expenditure figures have little to say about how the money is spent, other than debt servicing and the armed forces. So, debt servicing. In 1924, that was £307,808,748, or £109 billion in today's money. In 2024, that was £116 billion, a very similar sum. Okay, it's worse in 1924 because they have a smaller population. But they have just fought the most expensive war in history, and won it, and they are paying the debt off, which is more than can be said for us. And now the armed forces. In 1924, they spent £105,800,000 on the armed forces, which is approximately £37 billion in today's money. In 2024, that figure was £68 billion. So the defence budget was less in 1924 than it is now, a lot less, and yet Britain gets an empire. Not just any empire, but the biggest empire in history. Okay, so a lot of the colonies chip in, but that is for their own defence. The truth is that the British Empire in 1924 is as cheap as chips. So why might that be? Were our ancestors so much better than us? Were they better at controlling costs? Or was their technological superiority such that none of the constituents of the empire could seriously resist? I don't know the answer to that. Anyway, that's all for this week. At this point, other YouTubers will say something about liking and subscribing, doubtless because they have hacked into YouTube servers, copied the code, and are conversant in machine code. I bow to their superior technical skills. In the meantime, I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.